Welcome to the ISO Manila 2015 podcast. This podcast contains live recording from ISO Manila 2015, which took place in Impact Hub, Manila, Philippines on July 10 to 11, 2015. We will be featuring guest speakers on various startup topics from all over the world. So whether you attended it or not, here is your chance to learn from the best in the industry. On this episode, we have a portion of our leadership roundtable discussions. Here we'll be hearing from one of our Philippine startup rock stars, Paul Rivera, who'll be talking more about his startup journey with Caliber. Paul Rivera is a Filipino-American who has come back to the Philippines to found Caliber, a technology startup transforming how people find jobs. After quitting Google, he dedicated his professional career to helping eradicate unemployment in the Philippines. Millions of Filipinos are underrepresented in the employment market because they lack the college degree to prove that they have the skills. But Caliber's technology matches any job seeker to the right job, whether they have the college degree or not. Caliber is the only Filipino startup to have won over coveted investors like Pierre Almodiar, who is the founder of eBay, and Y Combinator, whose alumni include Reddit, Dropbox, and 9gag. With their vision to help emerging markets through their employability platform. So let's hear it from Paul Rivera.
Okay, so I have 20 minutes, right? So I'm gonna do it in 20 minutes. So my name is Paul Rivera. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Caliber. When people kind of hear about me or hear about Caliber, it's usually about kind of this story. In the news, we raised money. We were the first startup to get into Y Combinator, like all really, really good things, right? But my start was actually much more humble. I was born in the Philippines, born in Dasmariñas, Cavite. Kind of like lower middle class family, right? We weren't poor, we weren't rich, and we were like many Filipinos seeking a better opportunity, a better life abroad. So in 1988, I left the Philippines and I moved to the Bay Area. So we immigrated there. I was 5 years old. And my mom had me when she was 19 years old. She had my brother when she was 20 years old. She moved there as a single mother. She didn't graduate from college, right? So we had to start over in America. And she started over as a waitress so that she could have money to go back to school and finish her college degree. And I quickly realized, like from a young age, like we didn't have a lot of money because I would go to school and I would see all my friends, they would look fresh. They would have nice clothes, nice shoes, and I didn't. And I would always ask my mom, like, Mom, can you buy me, like, shoes? Like, can you buy me the LA Gears with the lights, the Reebok pumps, right? She would always say no, like, no, not, like, we don't have money. If you want anything in this life, you have to work for it, right? So I did. And this was my first job, 15 and a half years old. I worked and made tacos at Taco Bell, right? The pay was shit, right? The work was hard, but I made my own money, right? And it quickly taught me a lesson in life that you know, luck doesn't just happen, right? Luck is manufactured through hard work, and hard work creates opportunities for you to be lucky, right? You don't just get blessed randomly by God, right? He blesses you when he sees that you've worked hard for that blessing, right? And this is important because in the Philippines, in a very Catholic country, we're praying for our salvation rather than working for our salvation, right? So everything in life, everything that you want to do as a professional, as an entrepreneur, it comes in a foundation of hard work, right? And that hard work creates a reputation and it creates opportunities for you. So I worked hard and I got into UC Berkeley. This is where I met a best friend of mine, Vincent Lau. He's actually visiting me from the Bay Area. We're working on another startup. This was an amazing, amazing experience because it was one of the best schools, really, really good people. And the lesson from that is your life networks matter, right? As Manny was saying earlier, it's all about mafias, right? Make sure you're running in the right circles. Because if your friends are losers, you're probably going to be a loser. If your friends are drug addicts, you're probably going to be a drug addict. But if your friends are entrepreneurs, if you're friends with people who are better than you, if you're friends with people who you aspire to be, you will probably become like them, right? So whether it's in school, outside of school, in your professional lives, the companies you choose, the networks that you plug into matter. And many of the people that I work with at UC Berkeley that were my friends became my investors. They became my advisors. They became founders of successful startups in the Valley. They are now VCs, right? And because I built those relationships then, not knowing what I know today, they've helped me get to where I am today, right? So relationships matter, life networks matter. So after Berkeley, our goal was to get into a good company, right? Accenture. And this is like this is a horrible, horrible story because me, Vincent, and our other friend OJ, we were all applying to this company. They got a job offer I didn't. Right, I thought I was gonna work with my best friends at a good company, be a consultant, make good money. I failed the final interview. I don't know how he got in, but he got in, right? So
why did you fail? Did you ever figure out?
I think it was just a bad day. Maybe the interviewer, it was a managing director at Accenture. I never figured it out. They never gave me any feedback, but I fucked up. You know, I had a bad interview. And so in Berkeley, everyone, like, you aspire to graduate with an offer before you graduate, right? And I didn't have an offer. So I took whatever I had available, which was an internship, right? And it was at an internship at an e-commerce company. I'll tell you about that, right? So this is a big lesson, right? I'm still a failure today. I fuck up and I fail all the time. That Accenture moment was a big, big failure. And I could have just easily just been depressed and have given up on myself. But I was 21 years old, right? And people today, they get so caught up with the fear of failure that they never even fail, right? They fail to fail, right? So you wanna put yourself in a situation where you are pushing the limits of what you know and what you can do and understand that failure is a part of success. Nobody who has ever been successful has not failed, right? And I like the LeBron James analogy, right? He's failed so many times, but he's also become a champion, just like Michael Jordan, right? Failure is a part of the success story. So this is 2004. E-commerce is starting to kind of boom in the Valley, and I was not even offered a full-time job at this company. It started by two Harvard guys. They offered me an internship paying $500 a month, right? He was making $5,000 a month at Accenture, right? So he was making 10 times more than me, and I was like, fuck, man, like what is happening to my life? But I got very, very lucky because they gave me an internship, and this company, 6 months after I joined, right, no one knows about them. They raised $22 million in venture capital. So now they're on the scene. And I guess I did a good enough job working hard, proving my worth. And they said, okay, we have all of this money now. We need to scale our operations, right? We need to add more SKUs, SKUs, right? We need more beds, we need more dog beds, we need more rowing machines. Who wants to volunteer to go to India to set up the operation? Nobody volunteered except me, right? I was like, I will go, I will live there, I will do whatever it takes. I will eat the Indian food, like I will speak Hindi, right? And I did. I ended up spending 18 months there, living with my 27-year-old CEO in Bangalore, India from 2004 to 2006, setting up a BPO. I had no experience doing that. I was hiring people twice my age, right? Working in a foreign country. I was pushed to the limit every day, but I was learning so much every day, right? Every day at work was like a month at school. And this is another lesson, right? They offered me a plane ticket to go and see the world. Everyone said no, except me. So think about yourselves, right? Are you gonna just sit here in Metro Manila and in this bubble? Or are you gonna go out and push the limit, right? Are you going to go somewhere else and maximize your learning, right? And for me, I not only took that plane ticket to India, I also took the plane ticket back to the Philippines when I started my first company. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that. So this basically means get out of your comfort zone, right? Whatever comfortable life that you have living at home, right? Living with your parents, living with your friends, your early 20s is your opportunity to maximize your learning, not maximize your earning. Maximize your learning, not your earning. Because I wasn't making shit at the e-commerce startup, right? But I was learning. So eventually got a little tired of living in India and doing all of that back and forth travel. So I ended up getting a job at the adult playground called Google. This is Google. So I worked at Google from 2006 to 2007, and amazing company. At that time, they only had 7,000 people, so they were still relatively small. The people doing customer support were from Harvard, Yale, Stanford, like really top people, full staff, right? But I quickly realized in this company, I don't like structure. I didn't really like having a boss. I felt that I was smarter than everyone. And I was like, I felt too constrained. So after 7 months, I quit, right? And this is where my mom basically has a panic attack, because she's like, oh, you know, my son, she was so proud that I got into Google, and then she was so depressed that I left. And then she lost her mind when I was like, Mom, I'm not only gonna quit Google, I'm gonna move back to the Philippines. And you have to understand why this is crazy for a Filipino-American parent. When you see the Philippines on CNN, what has just happened? Huh? What? Corruption, typhoon, something bad, right? And when you're as a Filipino-American or you're watching TV Patrol, it's corruption, it's crime, it's celebrity. You don't see this in the media, right? So for many people, there's no opportunity in the Philippines, right? But I saw that opportunity, and so I got on a plane, and I started my company. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're all about tolerating risk. You can't tolerate risk, and you can't tolerate uncertainty. I don't suggest you be an entrepreneur, right? Because every day is a new day, literally. There's no path. The buck stops with me, right? If you can't tolerate this world, perhaps learn how to tolerate it somewhere else before you dive in. So I started my first company in 2007. It's called Open Access BPO. We focus on doing BPO for Silicon Valley startups. Did you guys have a Friendster account before? So these people here were literally looking at all of your photos on Friendster, moderating them for drugs, for pornography, for things that were illegal. I built this business over 5 years. Today it has 800 people. We work with Lyft, we work with TripAdvisor, we used to work with Secret. It is a BPO focused on Silicon Valley. I was 28 years old. I was, I think, having a quarter-life crisis. I was bored, right? Because I was like, man, this is like, the problem has been solved. Like, we're big, it's operations, this is not fun anymore. And then I was inspired by a bigger problem. And this is why I started Caliber. The first side of the problem is the business problem. It's hard to find good people. The other side of the problem is a social problem. Many young people, many Filipinos, go to school, they get a degree, but they don't have the right skills to get a good job. So they end up unemployed, underemployed, or as an OFW, right? I wanted to solve that, and that is why I started Caliber. And these are some of the people that we want to help, right, in Caliber. I think Michael was 24 years old. He was an undergrad, so he didn't finish college, right? And he didn't finish college because he didn't have 10,000 pesos, which in the big scheme of things is not that much money. But for him, that prevented him from getting a degree. And because he didn't get a degree, many companies didn't want to hire him. And because many companies didn't want to hire him, he lost all of his self-worth. So imagine being 24 years old and you have no hope in life. We have millions of people in the Philippines thinking like that. I call them zombies. They're alive, but there's no soul. There's no passion. They don't wake up every day ready to conquer the world. They wake up every day thinking it's the same day again. But with Caliber, what we do is we highlight his skills, we highlight his ability, so that we can get past the college degree. We can get past the notion that you need a degree to be a good worker. So he got a good job. He makes 18,000 pesos a month at Sutherland. We change his life. And this is what we want to do. So as an entrepreneur, right, I get to build things and do things that shape people's worlds. That's the best part about being an entrepreneur, right? It's what Steve Jobs can do. He shapes our world every day with this, you know, I'm a Mac addict, right? That's the best thing about being an entrepreneur. You can do work that shapes and touches other people's lives. So two things. We got into YC, awesome, right? This is our first day at YC. And then, you guys know this dude? No. He's Jaza, CEO of Ayala Corp. Jaime Augusto Zabaldea, right? So like, I think back to that story I just shared, right? Pretty humble beginnings, fucked up after Berkeley, didn't get a job, had an internship. I shouldn't be the one on this side of the table giving you guys this talk. Probably you guys should, but I'm here. So I want you guys to think about where you're not supposed to be, but you are, right? Because that is the journey that entrepreneurship creates for you. Okay, so that was it. Thank you, guys. Any questions? I know we only have a few more minutes. Hi.
What was your aha moment that you wanted to go back? Because usually this happens, right?
Yeah. The moment was when my co-founder of that call center, who was a little bit older than me, who was American, said, hey, I think there's a lot of potential in the Philippines. We should start a business there. And then we took a trip here, and then the aha moment was seeing like Makati. Right, because when I used to come back to the Philippines, we would go straight to Cavite. And the province is very different than Metro Manila. So I would always think, there's nothing in the Philippines. It's just like poor people, it's farms, and Tagaytay, right? And then we started hanging around in Makati, and we were like, oh, Greenbelt's pretty nice, right? There's like, it's developed, there's opportunity. And what are all of these big companies doing here? So the aha moment was actually being on the ground in the Philippines, observing what was happening here. Because that stuff never gets reported in the new media, whether it's CNN or TV Patrol. Any other questions? Are you guys entrepreneurs? Are you guys going to start companies? The stupidest question to ask is the one you don't. How do we help them? It all comes down to hope. Because he was hopeless. And if your only mechanism for getting employment is a job board and you keep getting rejected because your resume shows you don't have a degree, you lose hope, right? So it all starts with hope and giving that person a belief that they actually have a chance. Because once you have hope, then you can do anything, right? It starts with that. It starts with believing, just like as an entrepreneur. What you're about to do may seem impossible, but if you have hope that you can do it, you're going to try to do it. And you're going to give your best chance at doing it. But if you don't have hope, you're probably going to not going to start. Everywhere. We're a national platform. But a lot of our people discover us through Facebook.
So there you have it. You've heard from one of the Philippine startup superstars, Paul Rivera. Stay tuned for our next few episodes from IZA Manila 2015. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us a 5-star.